Psalm 127. We're going to read all five verses in Psalm 127. Some of you will get your chapter in for the day.
Amen.
Psalm 127. And we're going to read all five verses responsively. And then I want to help you tonight. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty hunter, so are children of the youth. And verse 5, ready? Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And I have preached in this chapter before about children and different things, but tonight I want to talk to you about building the home and the church. Building the home and the church. The Bible says in verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Tonight, I want to show you how important the church and the home are to each other. And if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. The church and the home are two equal places. There is not one that is more important than the other. Y'all understand that? Now, they are two members of the same team. They are not independent of each other. I've been around preachers. They said, look, the home is the most important thing. And if, no, because I know people that are so involved with their home that their church grows just around their home. They have home church then. And they might have their other friends who don't go to church because their family is so important. We'll get together and have our own family church. That's okay. It's better than nothing, but it's not how God planned it. I know other people to where it's go, 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 and give everything to the church and let your family die and go to hell. I'm not for that either. There's a balance there. There's teamwork there. When I played baseball, I played a lot of third base. Well, when you play third base, you got to work with left fielder, you got to work with the catcher, you got to work with the pitcher, you got to work with the shortstop, got to work with the second baseman. And you've got to have know where you're at on the field, who's doing what, at what time, at what play, how many outs there are, where you're going with the ball, who's on base, who's not, who's on first. But anyway, some of you didn't catch that. Slow freight, let me tell you. But you learn to work together as a team. And that is exactly what the home and the church are to be. They're to work together as a team. They're not to work against each other. I'll never have an activity and expect everybody in the church to be there no matter what if it's outside of church time. Say, why? Because not everybody can make it. If you men have to work on a Sunday or something or miss a church service due to work, I'm not going to criticize you. Now, if we choose to work then and not go to church, I think we got to get our priorities right. But there are times you're forced to work. Brother Don's not here today. He was forced out of town on his job. He texted me during church this morning. I miss my church. I hate being where I'm at right now. And I just had to, I like that. New convert, and he's already missing being in church. That's the way it should be. You say, what is that? But he said, should I quit my job, preacher? I said, no, don't quit your job over this. You go do this. God will take care of it. But let's not make it a regular habit. And he said, no, it's not going to be. He said, I already told him I'm not doing this anymore. And I said, well, you don't lose your job over it, but let's work through this. Psalm 127 says, I want you to notice some words here. Except the Lord build the house. Watch this. They labor in vain. That term labor in vain means to build or accomplish nothing while struggling hard. It means to work and work and work and work and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and accomplish nothing. You know, if you're struggling and you're accomplishing something, it's not bad. But when you struggle and accomplish nothing, that's misery. Oh, it's miserable. They just put sod down in my house this week. And I don't know where they got the sod. But I pulled a wagon load of rocks out of one side of my yard yesterday. I mean, it's like somebody went to a gravel farm and got it. And I'm not talking stones. I'm talking rocks that size. You know, the ones that if you hit them with the mower, Marsha's house is going to look like it got hit with a hailstorm. All right? I'm not pointing it at my house. Forget it. Now, wait a minute. It's okay. I'm going to mow hers too, so it doesn't matter. But wait a minute. I got one side of my house done yesterday. I filled the whole bottom of a little wagon cart that I have. There for a while, I was wondering if I was making any progress. But after I got about half of it done, I looked back and I couldn't see rocks laying everywhere. I thought, well, the struggle's worth it. And then I got that whole side done, front to back. I was going to stop at the edge of the house. And I said, doggone, I've worked this hard. I'm going to finish that whole thing. So I did. And I looked back and I said, okay, that side at least looks okay. I'm hurting too bad. I'll do the rest later. And I'll do it again. There was struggle, but at least there was something to show for it. How many times have we labored in vain? We worked and 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 we struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled, and it was for nothing. That's what God said. He said, except the Lord build the house, you labor in vain. I know people that will work hard to build a church building and build a church, but they're doing it without the Lord. They're doing it man's way, and it's vain. They go through all the struggle for what? Well, we got a big, beautiful building. That's nice. Nobody in it. I was talking to somebody this week. They were talking to somebody that they knew about coming to our church. And they said, well, we want to come to your church, but our church is dying. There's only about 10 or 15 people left. And we feel like we need to be there. If we're not there, it's all going to fall apart. I said, what is there to fall apart? I'm not advocating just picking up and leaving necessarily, but it doesn't sound, everybody that's there's all on Social Security. And then some beyond, some have taxed Social Security beyond measure. And it's like, what good is it? They're not getting anything out of it. Why labor in vain? Now, there's nothing wrong with folks on Social Security. They can tithe too, amen? Nothing wrong with that. They can show up, they can help, they can do things. But when you have a church of 10 people and all of them are 80 plus, and you got one family that's in their 40s or 50s, you're laboring in vain. Now, let me use this illustration. How many of you know what shadow boxing is? Yeah, Brother Scott does. Shadow boxing is put a light behind somebody and you're going through the motions and you're throwing punches as hard as you would as if you were boxing. But you're not hitting anything. It's vain. Shadow boxing is for training, all right? But it doesn't do anything other than train you. That's all it's good for. Is all it's good for is, and that word vain literally means hitting at shadows. Did you know you can't hurt yourself if you get your shadow hit? Remember when you were a kid trying to step on your shadow? Or step on somebody else's shadow, thinking you could hurt them? Doesn't work. You see, there's no success. Laboring in vain means there's no success. There's no motion. Why do we want to fight and not defeat an enemy? What good is it to fight if you're not going to win? God tells us that He has to be the one to help us build the home. He has to be the one to help us build the church. God likens the church to a family. It's called his house. The house of the Lord. So it ought to be God that is building the church, but God also ought to be building our home. Now, listen to this very carefully. If God is not the one building your home or our church, you're doing it in vain. God knows I want a strong church, but I want strong homes for everyone that is in our strong church. I want both. I don't think we have to choose one over the other. Summer's coming, and people will take vacations. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all. But I think if you can work out being in church, at least part of your vacation, I think you ought to try. Instead, if you got a whole week off, instead of taking two Sundays off, how about you wait till Monday and leave and or come back on Saturday so that you can be here for one of the two? Now, if you can't, I get it. I don't remember last time we went on vacation. But there's going to be days come where I'll take a vacation maybe. You don't understand. Being on vacation with me is not good. I don't do well. I'm a caged lion. I'm one of those people, I thrive on work. I don't get tired of the work. I just get tired in the work. But anyway, I want us to have strong homes. God has given us a strong, growing church. We're about to multiply like the book of Acts says. Just get ready. It's about to multiply. It's not going to add. We're not going to add to. We're going to multiply. And it's going to come quickly, and it's going to come fast, and we're going to be bringing a lot of people in. We're going to have a lot of new friends and a lot of new family. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. We ought not be satisfied, us four no more. Amen. Now, at your house, that's fine. In my house, us two, and that's it. All right? We're not doing any more. Anything else that comes to that house is going to be a grandkid. All right? And there's none of those on the horizon anytime soon. But may I say this, I want us to be ready. I want you to be ready personally. I want to be ready. I'm trying to get our church ready for it. I'm trying to get us ready for success so that we don't labor in vain. I don't want new families coming in and you say, well, preacher doesn't love me no more. Preacher still loves you. Preacher will still have time for you. I'm just going to add more people to the list. There may be days in the future where you might have to wait a few hours or a day, but we'll get there. You say, why? Because that's called growth. It doesn't mean I hate you just because I didn't answer your call the moment you called me. But it may be that others need the attention too. And just because somebody else gets it, well, preacher doesn't love me no more. I used to do that. Aww. Come here, let me burp you. And do you ever think somebody else needs it? Maybe preacher needs you to step up and do something else. Everybody doing okay? Somebody say amen. Amen. Yes. Now, I want us ready to help new families. I want to become strong. I want to become a stronger Christian. I'd like to be a stronger pastor. But most, let me say it this way, will not be strong when they come to us. We are going to be adding people for the most part who are not strong spiritually, and if you're not careful, they will pull you down. You won't pull them up. That's what I don't want to happen. You need to be the influencer, not be influenced. Our growth should not weaken us, it should strengthen us. And by the way, the number on the attendance doesn't mean we're strong. Right. It's how strong are you as an individual. Anybody got that? Just because you have big Sunday doesn't make you a success. Just because you're running X number hundreds of people doesn't mean you're successful. How strong is everybody that's there? Brother Barnes heard me say this yesterday to a man. Our church should always have a worldly component to it because it means we're reaching new converts. Yes, sir. We're going to reach the people that don't know how to behave in church. We're going to reach the ones that get up and walk around. You're going to hear me say, hey, 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 everybody sit down. Everybody look at me. Don't talk. It's coming, all right? Don't worry. It'll be all right. I'm not mad, but they don't know any better. So we got to teach them. Did I scare her? Oops. She'll learn. Now, wait a minute. I didn't mean to scare you, Bailey. I'm sorry. I meant to scare your grandma. can I tell you something? The day's coming. We're going to have more and more of those. You're gonna say, all these unruly people. Yeah, bless God, it's better than an empty pew. Amen. I'd rather have a jerk in a pew than an empty pew. If I got the jerk in the pew, God's got a chance of reaching that person. Amen. If he's not there, God can't get a hold of him.
Thank God for Brother Mike.
Yeah, buddy. I was thinking Brother Scott. Now, I do not need you so busy at the church that you ruin your family in the process, though. I think there's a balance. I don't think it's wise for the pastor to be able to take vacations and him to criticize you for taking a vacation. That's wicked as the devil. I need you so close to the Lord that when new people come and people that aren't trained and people that aren't spiritual, they don't pull you back, that you can bring them along. You see, that's how you grow. That's how you become strong. You see, that's what building your life around church and the home are all about. It's okay. She's all right. It's okay. She did it out there, not in here. Amen. Now, let me give you just three or four thoughts. Might be five, I think. Four thoughts and I'm done. Number one. Jesus himself established a church because he knew he needed it.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Did you know that Jesus reached everyone in families? You go through the Bible, you'll find out Jesus said, forbid not the children to come unto me. He talked to children, and He would reach the children. He talked to young people. He talked to young adults. He talked to old adults. He talked to middle-aged adults. He talked to men. He talked to women. He talked to spiritual people. He talked to unspiritual people. He talked to harlots. He talked to politicians. They're about the same. He talked to intelligent people, and he talked to the lunatics. He talked to the crazy man in the graveyard as well as Nicodemus who came to him. Jesus didn't care. He talked to all people. That doesn't mean he hung out with them all. They came to him. He hung out with the right crowd. He built a crowd around him that were strong enough to maintain it so they could reach that other group and bring them into the group. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Can tell you something? All people are important. Amen. There's going to be somebody come to our church who's a sinner and get saved.
Wow.
Hopefully it's you. Can I tell you something? We're going to have people sing in our church someday that are sinners. I know that's hard to believe. I was out there. Randy's already done it. Good night. I mean, we've had Marcia in the choir. I mean, what more could you ask? What an example. You know, Jesus didn't throw away sinners. Listen to that statement. Jesus didn't throw away sinners. Harlots, divorced people, broken people, wayward people, backslidden people. He didn't throw them away. He said, come on in. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach to the brokenhearted. Lift the fallen. Talked to a harlot one day who was accused. By the way, we don't know she was a harlot.
That's right.
I love that story. We found her in the act of adultery. Where was the man? And Jesus didn't say, notice what he said. He said, where are thine accusers? Just because you're accused doesn't mean you're guilty. Now with Mr. Biden, anyway. He won't even admit it when it's on tape. Can I tell you something? Jesus didn't throw away sinners. Aren't you glad? Because otherwise none of us have hope. We're going to bring sinners to our church. Some of them aren't going to know how to behave. Some of them aren't going to know the difference between church and in the movie house. Because they've not been to church before, but they've been to the movie house. And they're going to learn. Quit looking down your pharisaical student. Well, people ought to know. Well, they don't know how to behave in church because they don't go to church anymore in this day. They really don't. Jesus lifted people up. He didn't go down to where they are. We're not going to act like the world to reach the world. Jesus brought them to where he was. He did not go down and act like them. Amen. You don't find Jesus boogie-woogieing down the boulevard. Jesus wasn't having a rock concert to reach the young people.
You're right.
He didn't come in his pajamas to church.
Amen.
Anybody doing okay? What's the modern philosophy? Come as you are. Let's have an open bar. There are churches in this area that have an open bar for church. It's called the Catholic Church. No. I'm not kidding. They play bingo. Gamble. What's the difference? We're not to go down to where people are. We're to bring them up to where he is. Number two, I got to hurry. There's so much I want to say there. By the way, in your home, do the same thing. Don't go down to where your children are. Bring them up to where you are. I'm not saying that you need to treat a three-year-old like a 30-year-old. And there's nothing wrong with little babies and you goo, 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 all that kind of junk. But do you ever wonder what a kid thinks? No wonder they can't talk right when they first start. All they heard you do is act like an idiot. Dr. Anderson called and I said, "How you doing, Doc?" He said, "Just like a baby. I'm bald and I don't have any teeth." He did say a third thing, but I won't say it in public. I'm going there. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? In your home, bring people up. Don't criticize them for not being where you are. You know, if my children didn't perform the way I thought they should, I didn't criticize for them. I trained them to be able to do so. Maybe it was I didn't lead them right. Too many people, well, I gave them instruction. That doesn't mean that they understood it. Number two, I got to hurry. The church is for man. The church is not by man. Notice that statement. The church is for man. It's not by man. Jesus was the head of the church, not Peter. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." You say, well, Peter's name is the word stone. It's Petrus. Yeah, it means pebble. Jesus said, "Upon this rock, cornerstone, headstone, I'll build my church." Peter wasn't the cornerstone. He was a pusillanimous little peanut brain pebble. Can I tell you something? Too many churches are about man. They're not about God. God made me his assistant. This is his church. Amen. This church is not about this preacher. It's about him. Amen. And the day I lift myself up to where I'm level with that, get rid of me. I didn't have to be so agreeable so fast.
You want a gun, knife, or window?
Josh, can you take that knife out of my back without twisting it? Man, yeah, it's about that long. It came all the way through. Ugh. You know, we're not to run church, listen to this, as we see it. How about we run it as God sees it? Everybody doing all right? We're to run church God's way, not as culture sees it. Well, you're behind the times, preacher. Nope, I'm right in time. Right there it is. Amen. Well, that's just so old-fashioned. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. Well, we've been enlightened. You know, the farther you get from the fountain, the worse the water is. Closer to the source you get, the purer it gets. And you don't get any purer than the source right there. I'll say something about that in a minute, too. Church is not a country club or a place of status. If you rise here as far as you teach Sunday school or you're singing in the choir or you're someday become a deacon or you do this or a bus captain or you become a nursery worker or you oversee a children's church or something, it's not a button that you wear saying, look at me, I'm a super Christian.
Amen.
You're a servant.
Yes, sir.
Servant of the mighty God. Don't you ever forget it. The day we lift ourselves up and say, look at me, God can't be there. This is not a place to display our goodness. Brother Barnes said this yesterday to a fellow. He said, the ground's level at the cross. And at Grace Baptist Church, the ground's level.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? The altar fits every size knee, every age knee, and whether the knee goes down or not. When you're too good to hit the altar, too good to fall on your face before God, you're too good for God.
Amen.
Our church is not to be styled after man. It's to be run as God commanded in his word. We're supposed to use his word, not man's words. We don't need a rewritten one. We just need the one God wrote.
Amen.
Old King James. That's all we're going to use. Number three. By the way, in your home, your children need to know God runs the home, not you. God puts you there, mom and dad, as an assistant to him. But you're not God in the home. Be careful saying, well, I'm God in this house. Ooh, that's idolatry. I stand in his stead, speaking for him, pointing them to the truth. But I'm not God. I've never dictated to my children what they had to do for God. Now, when it came to growing up and there were certain things they had to do, they were dictated. But they were also taught, if you'll obey this, someday you can obey God. When I had to punish my children, I'd say, if you can't obey mom and dad, how are you going to obey God? Ooh, they hated that speech. Oh, they hated it bad. My kids recently said, Dad, we couldn't wait for you just to paddle us and get it over with. The speech was worse than the paddling. Good, that was the whole point. You see, home is not a place where you're God. You're his assistant. You're supposed to do what he said. You're to do it as he said, not do it as you think it should be done. Number three. Everyone needs duties at church just as they need duties at home.
Yes, sir.
I believe everybody at home ought to have duties. I obey my wife. I take my shoes off when I go through the door. I don't like it. I hate it. I take them off every time. My house ought to be able to wear my shoes, but it's her carpet and I'm not messing it up. I like a happy house. But we have duties. Inside's hers, outside's mine. She doesn't mess with the outside, I don't mess with the inside, but I'll help her. She needs help cleaning, I'll help. She does the cooking. I help with the dishes. Just about every meal we eat together, I clean up the dishes. Well, I put them in the dishwasher. But I do scrub the pots and the pans and stuff like that. I do. You say, why? Because I believe in helping. I've got duties. When my kids were at home, we knew when cleaning day was, and we all had our duties. I've cleaned many a toilet, many a sink, many a tub, many a shower, you name it. I've cleaned them all. Say, why? I live there too. We all ought to have duties. I think you ought to train your children to have duties. Everybody should have duties, but can I tell you something? I think it's good to get involved at church and have duties there. It's good to learn how to get involved and help serve, whether it's out in the parking lot helping park cars or greeting or working in the nursery or helping in junior church or singing in the choir or whatever. Everybody should have some duties. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
No job is too small if it's done right. Responsibility is not a status symbol with God. Being a servant is. Too many of you are looking at what position can I get, not can I just serve. If it's cleaning a toilet, it ought to be the cleanest toilet in town. Because it's God's. I just believe that. I got here at 10 after 5 this morning. After I came in and got my stuff thrown down, first thing I did is went to the washrooms to make sure everything was read up and picked up and cleaned up in there. You say, why? Because there's times I'm embarrassed about how they keep it around here. I'm not in charge of it. It bothers me. You know how many times I've re-cleaned bathrooms in this building alone? You say, do you complain about it? Nah. But I promise you one thing. When we get our new building, our bathrooms are going to be clean. They're not going to smell like bathrooms. Not going to smell like a truck stop. Maybe after church on a Sunday morning for a while it will, but before church Sunday night, they'll be cleaned back up. Because they need picked up and cleaned up and trash taken out and look nice. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me show you something here. We'll look at a few verses here and there throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, for if the body is not one member, but many, if the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now, can I tell you something? It'd be kind of silly if you were just one giant eyeball rolling around. Your eyeball is important, but so is your hand and your foot and your ears and your nose and your tongue and your belly. All of it's important. And the Bible compares us to a body. That means, did you know if you cut the end of that finger off, it's going to hurt? Now, the body can still keep going, but it's not going to be able to do everything it once did as well as it did. You don't realize how much you use that till you hurt it. You know, you chop that one off, you won't be able to pick your nose with that hand. Get right down where you live, amen? Now, wait a minute. Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, that the servant is the greatest of all. Why should it matter which body part we are? How about we just serve and do what we were made to do? If my finger complains that it's not a foot, what good is it? All right, I'm not going to walk on my hands. There was a day when I could, but not any longer. Besides, getting athlete's finger is not real good, all right? But anyway, you know, everybody needs duties at home, but no job is more important than the other. Do you know if your job at home is getting the wood to the wood stove, that's as important as being able to build the fire? Because if there's no wood there to build fire with, what good is it? Just like in the church, no job is bigger or less important than anybody else's. Junior church is a big job. Working in junior church is a big job. Because Brother Joe can't stop preaching to take a kid to the potty. Leave all those kids by themselves for him to walk one down the hall to go to the potty. So that means the workers is as important at that moment as anybody. Everybody doing okay? So much to say here. We shouldn't be jealous of somebody else's duties. Well, they got the duty I wanted to do. Oh, you're position seeking, huh? How about you just humble out and just do what's available? I'm not trying to be cruel. I'll try to give you what you want, but there's going to be times it's not available. And maybe the Lord wants you to grow in another area. I know this. There's never a place you can not go soul winning. You can always knock on the door and tell somebody about Jesus. That's good stuff, preacher. Amen. Number four, and I'm done. We need to help, not criticize, weaker or younger members. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. Look at verse number 22. This is important. Look at verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, hath given more abundant honor to that part which is lacked. Now look at me. Did you know your eyes are important, but you can live without your eyes, but you cut your feet off, it's a little harder? Now, folks, feet are ugly. Nobody's got pretty feet. Hairy, stinky, dirty feet. Not Harry's feet are stinky and dirty, but I don't know. I haven't looked at it in detail, brother. Can I tell you something? Just because they might stink a little bit, they're workhorses. You get bad feet, you have trouble getting around. You get down in the foot, you've got a lot of trouble. There are some uncomely parts that don't look to be real important, but without it, you'd be in a heap of trouble. You see, just because a person looks or is older doesn't mean they spiritually know what you know. Brother Fred, how old were you when you got saved? 78? I mean, he was almost as old as Noah. This is all brand new to him. On the outside, yeah, I mean, Marcia was about 120. But just because you're older and then you get saved doesn't mean you know everything. You start the process just like a baby all over again. Brother Fred, you don't have any more hair or any more teeth than a baby, so it's okay. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Learn to be patient with people, not critical. There are some young people. We've got a bus girl. Some of you were a little impatient with her. Hang on. She's a 7th or 8th grader. She looks like she's in high school. She ain't been to church before in her life. She went to school this week and found out her mom moved in with somebody else, and somebody else is living in her house that her mom's paying for. And she doesn't even live with her mom. How'd you like to go to school and find that stuff out? Wow. So she wants somebody to love her. And Mrs. Lopez and Miss Marcia took her out soul winning yesterday. She got off the bus today. She said, "You're going to be back Saturday to take me soul winning again, aren't you?" She just wants somebody to love her. She's excited about coming to the mother-daughter banquet. Oh, my heart. This girl didn't even know what a dress was. My wife and Mrs. Lopez had to take her out and teach her there's more to dressing than just what went on the outside. That's the nicest way I know how to say it. She just didn't know any better. It's okay. Can I tell you something? Let's be a little patient. That little girl had somebody murdered in her house 2 days before Christmas this year. And you want to get a little upset with her because she doesn't act right at church? Hang on, she's here.
That's good.
I'll take it any day.
Amen.
I'll take it any day. It's worth getting up for early in the morning driving that big old bus, isn't it, Brother Mike? Can I tell you something? How about we be patient with people, not critical? You see, let's... I don't know how to say this nicely. You don't do everything as perfectly as you think you do either.
That's good right there.
Neither do I. You're not as polished as you think you are. You just polish the part that people can see. I love when my wife irons my shirts. If I iron my shirt, I only iron the sleeves in the front.
Smart.
I'm going to throw a suit coat on it. Who gives a flip? Now, I will iron it, but most time I don't iron the back of it because I know I'm throwing a suit coat over it, and first time I throw the coat over it and get in the truck, it's wrinkled up anyway. God bless her. She irons the whole thing. I learned that trick in college, amen? By the way, she ironed this one. It's all right. I'm telling on myself. It's the honest to God's truth. My wife laughs at me. How come you just don't do the whole thing? Because I don't need to. Nobody's going to see that. Now, can I tell you something? You're not as polished as you think you are. You're not as sharp as you think you are. How about we learn to care about somebody else as much as you care about yourself? In your family, teach your children to care for other people. Best thing you can do for your family is teach them to care about somebody else. We are so selfish in our country. We have no idea how selfish America is. You know, the church and the home are like a team. We need to work together to make it work well. We shouldn't be working against each other. We ought to be working with each other. By the way, a home without a church is an incomplete team. And a church without a good home is an incomplete team. You can't control everything at either one, but you can do your part at each one. Do your part well at both. Learn to properly praise character, not talent. Praise character, not talent. I appreciate the folks that help us with the music, and I'm going to embarrass her, and she's going to get mad at me, but it's okay. Kirsten has worked her tail off to play piano for our church. Thank God for it. I mean that. She does a fantastic job. I don't want anybody but her when she's here. Now, wait a minute, Brother Brandy, you've been playing piano for how long?
54 years.
Yeah, you've been playing a long time. She's our church pianist. And he and I talked about it. You know what he said? Good, I want her to be. Say why? You praise character more than talent. You don't know the hours that girl sat at the piano every day by many hours learning to play hymns. There's still sometimes she'll say, "Preacher, can we change this song?" Yep. Because I can't sing it either. So don't worry about it. You pick what you want. We'll get it. Amen? I have no problem with that. You don't know what they are in advance anyway. What's the difference? She and I are the only ones that know. Nah, 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 nah. But I'll take that any day. Sometimes the singing might not be professional quality. But I'll take the good-heartedness and the character to show up at time to be at choir practice and show up to practice and do things the way you're supposed to do and all the work that goes into it. I'll take that over professional Christianity any day. You know, you'll get done more with praise than pointing out all the bad things that you did. Some of us think we're smart because we can show somebody's flaw. Did you know my buddy Gus can point out flaws? And he can't even talk much. He knows when something's not right. Just because you see something that you don't think is right doesn't mean you're smarter than anybody else. Be careful how you criticize your children's grades. They're probably better than yours. You know, I think everybody ought to do their best. But sometimes you get somebody to do their best that's already doing a good job by praising them, not criticizing what you see as insufficient. There are many preachers out there who can preach better than I. I got that. Doesn't bother me a bit. But I promise you one thing, they don't know our church like I know our church. I'll work at it. I'll guarantee if you were here this morning, I preached a sermon on the doctrine of redemption. I'll guarantee most theologians couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper bag to where anybody would understand what redemption is. Everybody in this room that heard this morning understands what the doctrine of redemption is, including bus kids. Huh. That took work. Just because it wasn't how you see it, but you're not there, it's God's, not yours. Let's not be guilty of building in vain. How about we build? Build our homes, build our church. Let's work together. Let's be strong enough as we add new members and as we grow that we don't allow that to pull us down, that we bring them up. Hey, that's what it's going to take to be a strong church. That means we're not going to have cliques. That means you don't have the new people come in and say, well, we don't want you. You're new here. That's wicked as hell. You bring them in. You bring them in to be part of it. Now, if they're participating in wrong things, you don't participate with them. But ask them to participate in right things with you. That's how we'll grow them. That's what God wants. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain to build it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. The church is important. The home is important. They're equal. There's not one above the other. It takes both to build both strong.